I'm really excited about being here. You all were such an encouragement and blessing to us. Project Joshua to the IDF. This is the bag that you guys so graciously helped us get. It's a hydration backpack, and we're going to use it as an opportunity to give them the living water. Amen. We're going to put a CD-ROM in there. I don't have one with me right now. I don't think I do. But anyway, it's got the Word of God in 15 different languages on it. And we also have a track. We don't call it a track, of course. We call it the Mideast Report. And it basically has been designed for Jews to draw them into the Scriptures, the prophecy concerning the Messiah. We also, with that money, was able to buy 30 of these, not many of them, but this is a personal comfort or hygiene kit, if you will. When they call their soldiers into a fight, they don't notify them. They don't have time to grab toothbrush, washcloth, soap, and all that other stuff. They don't have a contingency for getting them ready for that sort of thing. They do it at a moment's notice, and then, of course, a lot of times they might be at a restaurant, they might be somewhere, and they get called up. They call them on their cell phone, and they have to go immediately into the base. So they don't have toothbrush, toothpaste, stuff like that. In 2009, when they went into Gaza, was such a case. And so we were able to get near an artillery unit there that had been there for 3 days, no toothbrush, no toothpaste, no soap, no nothing but, you know, water and food. And so we were able to deliver some of these packages, and in those packages we even had a change of underwear and that sort of thing. And you say, well, you know, let me back up a little bit. I was at a church one time, and it was a missions conference, and the guy was basically preaching against beans and rice missionaries. And so I thought about that for a while, and I thought, well, you know, there's pros and cons to that. If you get people conditioned and they're expecting it, then that's one thing. But when they're not, it's another. And so you say, well, why do you do this? Why do you get stuff like this? Why'd you even start the ministry, Project Joshua? Well, in Israel, when you go there, if you've ever been there, the young people don't want to follow their parents' religion anymore. They've seen the hypocrisy in it. They've seen how that they're basically in bondage, even though they don't believe a lot of the stuff. And so they're going their own way. They're sort of independent of that today. And not only that, but they're in an army, and they're called upon to be in dangerous situations and that sort of thing. So that gets them thinking, you know. And so a lot of them are very discouraged and depressed, because, you know, you got to imagine what it's like. You graduate from high school at age 18, and then you got to go give the army, if you're a young man, 3 years of your life, and if you're a young lady, you have to give 2 years of your life. You got to put everything else on hold. Some of them would like to go to college and that sort of thing. Not only that, but they really are tuned in to how the world perceives them. And the world perceives them kind of like the bad guy. You know, they got tanks and jets, and they've got drones flying around in the sky, and the Palestinians have stones. That's the way the media portrays it. But that's not the case. So anyway, that's the media, amen, and they'll lie to you. They'll get you killed. They really will. So anyway, these young people, that affects them. It bothers them. And so the desertion rate today in the IDF is higher than it's ever been. Suicide rate is higher than it's ever been. And they really don't know what to do about it. Now, the commanding officers are not like our commanding officers. There's probably some good ones in the Army and, you know, Marines and what have you, Air Force, Navy. But these commanders are a little bit different. I'll give you an example. When you're in a hostile area and you know that the enemy's in a building and you've got to send soldiers in there, the IDF officers go in first. And that's unheard of in the American military, because they spend a lot of time and money training those officers, and they're in the command and control element, and so they send the privates and the private first classes and the lance corporals and what have you in there, the specialists in there. They go in first. And so they're very dedicated to their men. To give you an example how dedicated they are, it's nothing to be around an officer in the morning and he begins to make phone calls to the children, the dependents of his men and women that are in his unit, wishing them happy birthday, you see. Or if they had a bar mitzvah, he wishes them a mazel tov for their bar mitzvah. And, you know, in American military, I'd never seen anything like that, you know, where an officer will take hours a day, you know, calling the dependents and family members. And so they really care about their men and women. They really do. So when we come to them and offer an opportunity to be a blessing to the soldiers, they are excited about that. They, if they're not religious, I'll back up there. If they're religious, they don't want you around them. They don't care if you're coming there with $2 million worth of stuff that they need. If you're a Christian and they know it and they're religious, they won't accept it. They don't want it. But if the officer is a secular Jew and he really cares about his men and women, he'll take whatever he can get to be a blessing to those soldiers. And so that's what we try to do. We try to be an encouragement. When we show up, for example, when we deliver these bags, we won't go just with these bags. We'll go with some pastries and stuff like that. We try to be a real blessing and a real encouragement to them. And so the benefit of that is these Jews are, you know, curious. They're wondering why you came from the safety of America to Israel and went through the trouble of getting money together or whatever you did, spending your own money to give them a gift. And so it's really neat because I told you about the hygiene pack that we gave out. That was near Gaza. Oh, about 6 months later, we were in the northern part of Israel, right on the Lebanese-Israeli border. And it was the same artillery unit that was in Gaza was now up there. They move them around. And same thing, we had brought some pastries and stuff like that and some other gifts to them. And it was about 10 minutes later, I went out to my van and I wanted to pray. And so I just got in my van, I sat down, and I was just about to pray, and a young man came up to the passenger window and stuck his head in there. And he said, not having a toothbrush or toothpaste or soap, he says, doesn't sound like a big deal. He said, but when you guys brought that stuff, he said, he was really on time. He said, just to be able to brush your teeth and have a clean change of underwear. And he said, to know that somebody cared enough to do that was a real blessing. And he said, I want to know more about this man called Jesus. And so that's what happens. That's the kind of thing that we run into. And that's a real blessing. It doesn't happen right away a lot of times because a Jew, you know, goes by sight. They go by sight. And so they'll watch you to see if you're real. And so we also have 300 pairs of these wool socks. These are very expensive in Israel, and the soldiers don't have them. I'd say probably 98% of the soldiers there don't have wool socks. And if you've ever been a soldier, if you've ever been in the military, in the infantry, you know that your feet are very important. And you must take care of your feet. And these young men have to carry about 70 pounds on their backs. The terrain is very rough. And a lot of them come out of the military after 3 years with bad knees, ankles, backs, because they don't have right shoes, right socks, right equipment. Now, they got the best weapons, okay? They got the best rifles, you know, SAM missiles, you name it, they've got it. But you've got to remember that Israel, 60% of Israel's revenue goes toward defense. You see, they're the only democratic country in the Middle East. And they have been. Now you say, that ought to be a blessing to you. You say, why? Well, because they've been taking it. You see, they've been taking a lot of the terrorism and stuff that would have already reached America or other countries if they weren't there. If they weren't that cushion, absorbing that hate, if you will, from Islam. And so the commanding officers are just so thankful that we're there for them. In one situation, I was with another organization, and they would buy these containers, and they would refurbish them where they'd have a nice, safe, bulletproof place to sit and rest and air-conditioned, and and had coffee and microwave, stuff like that in there, and comfortable chairs, and the Bible, you see. And my job was to put the Bibles in those containers. Well, I went out there to put Bibles in one container, and this religious Jew got all upset. He grabbed one of them, looked at it, and seen that the New Testament was in there, and he just went ballistic, ran straight to the commanding officer. I thought, oh boy, you know, we're in trouble now. And so he brings it up to the commanding officer, and he says, this has the New Testament in it. He says, I want him out of here. He looked at him, he said, if you don't shut up, I'm going to call the Muslims up and tell them they can bring the Quran up here. So that, you know, that's a good thing. That's an officer that cares about his men and women, you see. And so that's the type of men that I know. There are a lot of military units in Israel, and this is what it looks like. It has their logo on it. We had their logo put on it. And not all of them lit us on their bases or lit us near their commands. But the ones that really care about their men the most and aren't religious, they pretty much appreciate that we want to do something for their soldiers. And so I want to say thank you very much for making this vision possible. And I appreciate it. And, you know, I must confess, I'm a little embarrassed to confess it, but, you know, I didn't have much faith that the money would come in the way it did. I really didn't. And I was amazed. It was a great encouragement to me that it did come in the way it did. And I appreciate that. And I know the Lord will bless you for it because God said so. Amen. Genesis 12:3 says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Amen. And I believe that. I believe you'll get a blessing. You might not know you got the blessing. Amen. It might have been the Lord preventing you from a serious accident or something like that, or losing a job, or you don't know. But I guarantee you, you'll find out when we get up to heaven that you were blessed because of your sacrifice, your offering for those Jews over there. And I appreciate that very much. All right, I'm going to pray real quick. Heavenly Father God, I plead the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for it, God, that it cleanses us from all our sin. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your strength and comfort and being so long-suffering toward us, God. Now, I pray now, Lord, you know I need your help. Lord, I need you to, Lord, put thoughts and words and verses into my mind that these people here need to hear. God, you know your people. You know their hearts. You know what needs to be said. And Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you would just bless them now, Lord. I pray you'd mold and shape our hearts into the vessels that you'd have them to be. Heavenly Father God, I ask all these things in your Son's name and for his glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would, please turn to your Bibles of Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Exodus, chapter 6. Exodus, chapter 6. You're real familiar with this story, the Exodus, and I just want to try to hit a point or two here through this. Okay, Exodus chapter 6, we'll begin in verse 1. It says, Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians kept in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Now, if you would please turn over to Exodus chapter 14, a few chapters over. Now, the plagues have taken place, and the death angel came through, smote the firstborn, and so now they're about to take off on their sojourn. And chapter 14, verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Phihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Now, if you would turn over to 1 Corinthians, hold your place here and turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll begin again in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things." Now if you would turn to verse 11, same chapter. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now that word admonition, thank God for it, that's a gentle reproof, and you should be thankful for it. Amen. To be able to read your Old Testament and see how God dealt with those people, and that just be a light reproofing to you, should be a blessing. Amen? It's better than the earth opening up, ain't it? It's better than serpents coming after you and biting you. Amen? Better than having Pharaoh chasing you with all his chariots and armies and everything else. Boy, I tell you, that's a blessing. Now turn to Romans chapter 15, please, real quick. Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says this, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures," and this is a wonderful word, "might have hope." Amen? You know, you read through that Old Testament, I used to read through it anyway, and it puzzled me. I'd scratch my head, boy, I could not figure it out. For the life of me, you know, these Jews witnessed these plagues. They witnessed a great miracle there at the Red Sea. They watched the most powerful military force of that time in history. They watched it being destroyed before their very eyes. And they still had some problems, didn't they? They had problems of murmuring, complaining, griping after seeing all those miracles. It used to puzzle me. Then one day I remember I was meditating on that thought, thinking about that, you know, and having read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 and Romans 15 and 4, it came to me. You know, we're no different. You know, I've seen some miracles in my short time on this earth. I really have. I mean, unbelievable, amazing miracles. But I still murmur. I still gripe. I still complain. I still lack in faith sometimes where I shouldn't. You know, that's that old flesh. And that's why, you know, we should be very thankful that the Lord gave us this Bible. We really should be thankful. And you know, there was a price paid for it. Amen. You know, the Jews were chosen to keep the oracles of God, and they did a very good job of doing that. They made sure, they went through painstaking trouble through the ages to copy them over and over, exactly, word for word, every little dot, every little tittle, everything. And you have it today. Most of you all here have been saved, born again, and it's because of the Scriptures. Amen? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. We should be really thankful. We really should. But you know, they witnessed Pharaoh, the type of the devil, being destroyed. We have to battle daily the devil, the flesh, and the world. So now, they're moving on here, and they're having to battle something else called this flesh. This flesh never stops bellyaching, never stops griping, never stops complaining. Amen? But I tell you what, it does get better. The closer you get to the Lord, the less trouble you have with this flesh. I remember my pastor one time, he drew a picture of two dogs. And this was real good for me because I understood it. It was very simple and simplistic, and it made sense to me. I had two dogs, same litter. Feed one of those dogs about half a cup of dry dog food every day, and the other one you give him 2 pounds of red meat. After 6 months, a year, you know which one's going to be bigger, stronger, faster. The one that ate the meat. Amen. The other one is going to be small and scrawny, going to look like the runt. Not going to be able to do what the big one does. Amen. And that's you and I. You know, we've been given this Bible, and God says there will be things that will happen to you when you spend time in this Bible. You'll grow in His grace. You'll be able to see things a lot clearer than you see things now. You'll be able to see things the way God sees things. Amen. And that's a real benefit because, man, when you don't spend time in this Bible and you have it in your possession and you do something that you shouldn't have done, there's going to be a price to pay for that, I believe. If it was laziness, or if it was just not planning your time well, or just not loving the Lord enough to where you wanted to seek that real good fellowship, you know. Have you ever done that? Have you ever sat down with your Bible and started, you prayed, and then you start reading, and then all of a sudden, man, the Holy Spirit starts showing you all kinds of things that you've never seen before. You're looking at verses that you've seen maybe a dozen times or 20 times or 30 times, and then all of a sudden the Lord just opens your eyes and you see it so clear, and you go, wow, the Lord's so good. And maybe a tear comes to your eye and you start praying again, and you got that sweet fellowship. Man, it's so good. And that's what He desires. That's what He desires. Think about that. Think about that for a second. I mean, do you doubt your Lord's love for you? He's already displayed it. He went all the way. He won a fight that you couldn't win. He did everything, man. He wants to prepare you. He wants you to be blessed. He doesn't want you to suffer and go through trials and tribulations because of your own undoing, your own ignorance, or your own laziness, or your own discard for His love. You know, it's a battle. We're in a fight. We are in a fight. And if you don't know that, then, you know, Satan's very happy with you because he doesn't have to spend much time on you. But there's a battle going on. There's an adversary. It says over in 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's the Christians, you know. That's Peter, the one that's talking from experience. Amen. One time the Lord looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord enough to want to die for him. But that ain't what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted him to live for him. And not only that, but there was a divine plan that had been planned out before the foundations of the earth. And Peter just loved the Lord more than he liked the plan, I guess. I don't know what his problem was, but he was rebuked. So later on, in Peter's walk with the Lord allows him to exhort the body of Christ. And he said, be sober. You know, there's no way you can be sober if you're not spending time in your Bible every day. There's no way you can be sober, I'm going to say it again, unless you're spending time in your Bible every day. That word sober, if you do a word study on that, what you will see is God will begin to show you that what he's talking about there is you must look at everything in this life through the Word of God. If you don't, you're not going to see it correctly. You can be deceived. You can easily be deceived. That's the easy part. You see? So God's telling you, this is an exhortation. Be sober. Be vigilant. And vigilant, of course, means on guard. And you know the devil, he's real good about sedating us. He's real good about making us lazy and just not caring about lost souls, people going to hell. He's real good about getting you so comfortable and so sedated that you don't even think about his love for you. You forget about it. You're saved now. You don't have to worry about anything. And then the devil, see, he comes along, and he's a great preacher, man. He's a great preacher. He'll give you a lot of illustrations. He'll say, hey, everybody's doing it. A little bit won't hurt you. That's his message. You've heard it before. I know you have. You're just as human as I am. You've heard that before. You don't have to get excited about all this. It's not a big deal. This Christianity, you just go to church, you know, dress up, carry a Bible. There's more to it than that. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. We're in a fight. The Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. We're told it's a fight. You read Ephesians chapter 6, and that ought to open your eyes. That ought to say, wow, that's what's going on. This battle ain't about flesh and blood. There's things going on that are much more serious than that. Much more serious than that. I remember when I went to Bible school, they had a, orientation. And the old preacher got up there and he said, some of you men have been in battle. Some of you men have been in gangs. Some of you men have been in prison. A lot of them were. Some of you men, pretty tough. Been lumberjacks and this and that and all this. But you're about to partake in the bloodiest battle you've ever been in. The bloodiest fight you've ever been in. And you know, there were people laughing. There were people laughing. They did not understand. You see, they hadn't gotten that far in their walk with the Lord. They hadn't seen people die without the Lord. You know, it's a terrible thing. You know, I can't imagine it, the wailing and gnashing of teeth, constant suffering and pain. I don't like getting burned. I really don't, man. I hate pain. I'm the biggest baby when it comes to pain. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I don't like pain, but burns seem to be the worst. I can't imagine what it would be like constantly being burned. I can't imagine the Apostle Paul saying, I wished myself accursed that one of my brethren might get saved. I can't imagine that. That's a burden. That's a burden. He's a great example to us. A great example to us. But you know what? Verse 13 says this, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever." Amen. What a blessing that must have been. Amen. These people that had persecuted them, of course, a picture of the world. You see, and that one day that's going to be us. We're going to cross over the River Jordan. When I write my prayer letters, if you ever see me say somebody decided to cross over the River Jordan, you know what I'm talking about. They decided to get saved. Just kind of like a little coded thing, you know, just to throw them off a little bit. But very, very soon, very, very soon, I believe, we're going to cross over the River Jordan. I was really happy to hear a couple years ago that the Russians were building a naval port in Tyre, Syria. You say, well, what's the big deal about that? Well, the people that were looking at that, the intelligence people that were looking at the size of that port said, whoa, 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 wait a second. This port is way too big for the Russian Navy. What are they doing? Well, if you read your Bible, you know, the Bible says that God's going to gather all the nations against Israel. They got to have a big port to take all that equipment over there, them tanks and rockets and soldiers and missiles and food and gas and all the stuff that's needed in a war that size. So it's set. The port's built. It's there. And if you go to a map and you look due north of Israel, it goes up through Lebanon into Syria, and bam, there's that port. All they got to do is offload those ships and come right down, go into the Valley of Megiddo, and meet their end, just like the Egyptians. Just like the Egyptians. You know, after they see this happen, they go into the wilderness for 40 years. And they just give poor old Moses a fit. Man, you're talking about being a pastor of a congregation. My, I would have thrown in the towel a long time ago. But he didn't, thank God. He just got a little mad when he shouldn't have. And therefore, he didn't get to see the promised land when they did. But here we are looking at these Hebrews. They get through the Red Sea, and they go through the wilderness and gripe and complain, and the Lord feeds them and gives them water and helps destroy their enemies, and all this stuff's going on. And you know the one thing that they didn't see or didn't want to see or didn't think about was God told them. God told them that he was taking them to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, Canaan. He told them that. Now, up until that point, he did everything he said he was going to do. Hasn't he done everything he said he was going to do for you? Hasn't he? Amen? What are you're still doubting that, you know, I die tomorrow absent in a body, present with the Lord? Are you doubting that? He did everything he said he's going to do and will continue to do so until the day he calls us out of here. If you would turn to John chapter 14, John chapter 14. Now, I don't know if somebody here is going through some discouragement or just maybe that sweet fellowship ain't sweet anymore, or maybe you just lost the burden for souls. Maybe, you know, you could have invited your neighbors to church, but, you know, he gripes when I put my trash can out there, and he gripes because I don't cut enough of the grass on my side. He gripes of this, he gripes of that. I mean, does that make you mad enough to want to see him burn in hell forever? You know, I can't understand. Just like we, you know, go through all this trouble, travel around the country for 4 years getting up support to go over to be able to witness to somebody, beg people for money so that you can get something like this to give them the word of God, wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and you won't invite your neighbors over for dinner. And just, I mean, lay a spread out there, man. Just give them the best you got. Be nice to them. Be polite to them. Wait another couple weeks or maybe wait another month. Invite them over again. Feed them the best meal you got. And then at the end of the dinner, you know, a little small talk, say, hey, by the way, we're going to church tomorrow. Will you come with us? And they won't say no. Unless they got a prior engagement. You see? You can wait for the right opportunity when there's a little special on or something like that, something special so they don't think they've been ambushed. You know, if the Lord had His way, brothers and sisters, pews would be full. They would be. If the Lord had His way in your hearts, the pews would be full. Hasn't He done what He said He was going to do? Has He not demonstrated His love already? Yeah, I think so. You know what? We're just not looking at this thing right. We really aren't. We're thinking about, well, if I invite them over, I only make so much a week, and that's going to come out of the budget. This God will replace that, I believe, in ways that you could never dream. You know, there was a time when I made a lot of money and I was out of the will of God, but I tell you what, transmissions falling out and motors this and that and all this stuff would happen. I never had any money. But I tell you what, made $5 an hour working in a ministry, and I seen God do things that only God could do. Talking about my mother's wife in Lebanon. 10 years we tried to bring her to the States just for one reason. So we could witness to her. 10 years. Then when I decided to surrender, full time, whatever the Lord wanted, scrub urinals, whatever He wanted, I'd do it for Him. Took a $5 an hour job. Guess what? The Lord brought her to America. And she got saved 5 minutes after she got off the plane. 5 minutes. It's like the Lord worked on her on the whole flight over, the whole month before she came. She was ready. Only the Lord can do that. And He wants to do it. He wants to do it in everybody's life here. Really, He wants to use you like a vessel of honor. You know what that vessel of honor was? Do you know what it was? It's for that nice, cool drink of water for that thirsty, tired traveler. He wants to use you like that. He wants to use every one of you, no matter what your age, your gender, He wants to use you. We're just not looking at it right. Just like these poor Hebrews here, complaining and griping. I mean, you know, enough to drive a man crazy. They just weren't looking at it right. God said He was taking them. Land of milk and honey. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Heavenly Father God, I thank You for this time. I thank You for these people, God. I thank You for Your Bible. I pray You forgive me, God. So gracious, Lord. You want us to be able to look at things right. Over there in Revelation, You said, take that eye salve and put it in our eyes. You said, I counsel thee to buy of Me gold. And You counseled us to put that eye salve in our eyes, Lord, so that we could see right, see the way you want us to see, see through the Word of God, look at everything in light of what the Scripture says. Lord, the devil is just trying to mess us up with the internet and the TV and all this Hollywood, all this stuff. God, there's so many distractions and so many things to get our hearts and minds off of what the Word of God says. We need your help, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'll work through these people here, God. You'll continue to mold and shape their hearts into the vessels that you'd have them to be, Lord, to be used for your glory and your honor. We pray, Heavenly Father, God, you come back soon. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I ask, Lord, all these things in your Son's name and for his glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, shall we stand? And then we'll have our heads bowed and eyes closed. And the instruments will play. If you need to use the altar, it's open for you. There's nothing better than doing something for God, be it locally or be it internationally. The altar's open. Okay, we'll have an offering plate in the back. We'll put an offering plate in the back if you'd like to give a love offering to the Whites. You're more than welcome to do that. And then on Friday, we'll have the singing time at the Petersons at 6:30. And then Saturday, we're going to be street preaching down in West Lafayette, leave Rensselaer at 6 o'clock. Okay, we're dismissed.